Dance Network's The Bartender is a podcast where your host, Liberty Kogan, speaks with top-tier professionals and enthusiasts in the dance industry. You can hear past episodes anytime at thebartender.tv. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Google Play.
Okay. Okay, sounds good. Isn't there a theme song?
Yeah. From the top, a 5, 6, 7, 8.
God, I hope I get it. I hope I get it. How many people does he need?
How many people does he need?
Hey there, dancers. My name is Liberty Kogan, and I am on, how do you say, a quest for the most inspiring, interesting, and stimulating dance stories out there. So pull up a stool, grab a cocktail, and settle in for another episode of Dance Network's Bartender. Today's guest has become a familiar face to the So You Think You Can Dance and Dancing with the Stars audiences, but he is currently making a name for himself on the East Coast as the choreographer of the New York Knicks City Dancers and working with Team USA's world champion ice skaters. Serge Onyek began his dance career in the glamorous world of ballroom, where he quickly became a national champion and took home 8th place at the World Games in Taiwan in 2009. So I cannot wait to hear what he's been up to lately and how life in the Big Apple has been treating him. So Serge, welcome to Bartender.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, it is my pleasure.
Looking forward to being
here. Oh, good. I'm so glad. And so Serge and I were connected by one of our Dance Network bloggers, Bridget Comrade, who's you said you began a relationship with back in your So You Think You Can Dance days?
Correct.
Okay, cool. And you've also worked a lot with our West Coast correspondent, Kristen Burt. So Kristen does a lot of interviews for us and blogging. She used to host the AfterBuzz show for So You Think You Can Dance and Dancing with the Stars. So, Serge, do you still stay involved in either the So You Think or Dancing with the Stars worlds at all?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like with Dancing with the Stars specifically, it's like I can't outrun it.
You can't escape it?
Yeah. I've been associated with them since I was 17, which is their second season.
Oh, wow.
When Max first came on. They knew he had students, and I guess he pitched the idea of us dancing. So they invited us out there. And that kind of was like the first thing that made me see dance and ballroom in a whole new light. It was outside of the rhinestones and outside of the competition world. And
right.
It was like in Los Angeles with superstars and celebrities, and I'm getting paid to do cha-cha steps. And I was like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, and I'm on TV. I mean, yeah, that's got to be pretty much the coolest thing ever.
Right. And then, so for the next decade, because they've been on the show for 10 years now.
Right.
Being on the show in and out from different seasons and between different projects. And then also now, like, even being on the East Coast, when this season was happening, Val was in town during when the season just started. So we put together his and Lori's Cha-Cha, which was their first number.
Oh, wow. And yeah, Lori obviously went on to win the season, which was super cool. She was
fantastic.
Which
was amazing.
I know. Yeah.
To be part of that as like the catalyst, the first dance, it was cool. It was a great experience. It was like, even though I'm not in LA and I'm not in the audience, I'll still find it here and participate somehow.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, obviously, how you got hooked up with the New York Knicks City Dancers. So did you only choreograph for them one time, or have you worked with them multiple times?
No, now to this day, I've done 4 pieces for them.
Oh, wow. And is it the pieces that they perform like during the games, or is it for other projects?
No, this is like specifically during the game. So the first one I did for them happened to be Latin Night, which is in March.
Yeah.
And I did a salsa for them, which was an obvious transition into it. But what was not obvious about it is there's just girls. It's a giant girl group. So there's
right.
No partnering. There's no tricks or anything like that. So it's just, you know, Serge being a sassy lady salsa dancer. It was great. It was a fun project to step into in that sense. And then after that, the next couple numbers, they're great to work with because, like, they're just a board of yeses and nos. You throw an idea at them, and if it hits, it hits. You got a job. You get to do it. So it's just, like, cool to have that type of structure where, like, I'll come up with 15 ideas or 10 ideas or, you know, and then we see what works out. And some are, like, put on back burners for next year because maybe, like, a similar song or idea was being used. So it worked out that this season I got to do 3 more on top of it. And so it's 2 salsa numbers. And the other ones are more like, I would say, Latin-y jazz.
Okay.
But with like hip-hop connotation, just to spice up through the music. But it's also more like conceptual. So like I have them, like one of the numbers is like theme of Tom's Crown Affair, where they're like art in a museum and they're being stolen.
Oh, that's cool.
So we have frames and some partner work with and inside the frame. So it's pretty cool. For some reason, I really like when I make them do like a little partner combo for 2/8. It's just the girl on girl partnering looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that these girls that you're working with, they're not just, you know, a lot of people have very stereotypical ideas of, you know, football and football cheerleaders and basketball dancers. And these women, these are real dancers. They are trained, strong, athletic. So it's great for you to have the opportunity to work with these women that, yes, while they're obviously very beautiful and very beautiful, they're extremely talented and come from a lot of real formal dance experience.
No, absolutely. KCD's and Nixie dancers, they put a high value on their dancers. I was able to see what their audition process is like this season. I mean, it's grueling. If I was a girl right now, I wouldn't make it on that team. Like it's super difficult. But and at the same time, you have to be poised, and the look is probably the 5th thing on the list. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's so many things that come into it, and I was ignorant to that whole world before I got to work with them. I probably thought the same way as everyone else, and then after working with them, I'm like, oh, now I know what a dance team is. I see their structure and their ability and their talent. I mean, the guys who owns them is the same guy who owns the Rockettes, so he wouldn't really have any low standards.
Interesting. Okay, so I also want to move into your work with, you're working with world champion ice skaters as well. Now, how did you get involved with that?
So, yeah, that's probably one of the best things that's happened in the past couple of years. That started when I was in LA.
Okay.
And it's transitioned like to something I could do when I'm in New York because it's not based in New York.
Right.
So basically how that happened is Max worked with Meryl from Dancing with the Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And through that season, I'm always in the background, kind of just helping the partners out if they need it, you know, like, sometimes, you know, you can't be with the teacher for 18 hours a day, right?
Right.
People need their space. You get another voice in there, it kind of helps the whole situation. Meryl thought I did a good job kind of correlating between the two worlds for her.
Now,
to help her understand what dancing was.
Now, before you worked with her, had you ever worked with ice skaters before that, or was this your first time?
Not once. But with Meryl, I didn't work with her on the ice. This was in the dance studio.
Right. Right.
With her literal routines that she was doing on the show for Dancing with the Stars. And then even after that season, after they won, like for the next couple of years, they Dance With Me company came up with a show called Sway that we all did. And it had a lot of dancers from Dancing with the Stars and So You Think You Can Dance. So, and a lot of the cast from the Dance With Me studios, the employees, the teachers themselves. And she was part of it with Rumor, and Zendaya did it one time. I believe the show was done like 4 or 5 times. In different locations. And when I worked with her there, yet again, we had to like put the show together and work that out. And she just, I guess, really thought I did a good job speaking and communicating from one sport to the other and kind of explaining body movement, not in complete dance ways, but more just like human ways. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so she got me in touch with U.S. figure skating, and it was a really funny conversation because Meryl is who she is. She's an Olympic champion. She's a superstar.
Oh yeah,
athlete. And I get on the phone with them, and they're like, "So, Meryl says you can help us. What can you do?"
And you're like, "Well,
Oh, man, I thought that was the most amazing question ever. I was like, well, and I was like, I could do this, I could do that, I could do this, I could do that. Depends, what do they need?
Right.
Where do you find that they need improvement? So he was also like, okay, we have this thing coming up in a few weeks. It's called the Champs Camp. And that's where the top couples in every discipline of the sport get invited to train at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado.
Gotcha.
So it was kind of like the best way to be introduced into it, because I go to this one event and I meet all the top couples and their coaches.
Oh,
so
cool.
If I teach a class and they like it, then, you know, then it works out. And, you know, it's up to them, you know. So it's kind of like a test audition situation, I guess, right?
Right, yeah.
So I did that. And then ever since, I've been working with all of them. It's more like a passion job, I guess, for me. Like, I'm not performing myself, but I'm able to help and form these athletes and skaters, because their sport is an interesting mix of figure skating with ballroom and contemporary. And now this is like, they also do hip hop. I think a lot of people don't know that.
Oh, so,
like,
wow.
Yeah, this season, one of they have two programs that they always compete with, and at least for the ice dancers, one of the numbers could be hip-hop. You get to choose that as an option. So a lot of them are doing that this year. So you got Uptown Funk being on the ice. You know, you got The Weeknd.
Yeah.
Skating to it now. So they're also trying to, like, make it more today, which it is. It's already there. People just have to know about it. So it's cool to be involved with that and see that transition. And be able to choreograph the people gliding on the ice. It's crazy.
Last call. Haven't had enough of the bartender? Head to thebartender.tv to hear more episodes and get your drink on.
Hey guys, my name is Gary Pate, and I am the CEO and co-founder of the Star Dance Alliance. Join me next Sunday on Dance Network's The Bartender. We're going to raise the bar. See you then.
If music is the universal language of life, then dance is the passion. But as we looked around the world, we couldn't find one place where all that passion of dance was being represented. So leaders from across the industry have now come together to form the Dance Network, to bring everything dance to the world. We're the Dance Network.
Join the movement. Sign up now for free at dancenetwork.tv.
We're chatting with Serge Onik this week on Dance Network's Bartender, so let's get back to it. So, obviously, we're talking a lot about ballroom, and that is what a lot of your early training was in. So I want to go back in time a little bit to your history. You were born in the Ukraine, and then you moved to the States when you were 3?
Yeah.
Okay, so what brought your family to the States?
We moved to Ukraine just for better opportunity, like, as Jewish refugees. Being Jewish in Ukraine wasn't the most accepting situation.
Yeah.
So we got help and came to America and set up roots in New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
So that's where I grew up. Yeah. Jersey
boy. And how did you get involved in dance once you came to Jersey?
It was just honestly the most random collection of events. I'm just in upstate New York at camp, like everyone from this area does. During the summer, and I'm playing football, and we finish the game, and I'm walking to get some ice cream, and I walk by a room, and I hear music. I walk by the room. I'm like, oh, music's cool. I got my ice cream. I'm going to go sit down and see what's going on here. And I sit down, and at that moment, I'm watching two couples practice, like, just dancing.
Yeah.
But it ended up being Val and Max, and their two partners at the time.
Oh, no way.
And they're young. They're competitive dancers. Max is a teacher, but he doesn't, like, Dancing with the Stars does not exist. Not even an idea yet. And they're just practicing, and I'm just sit there, and I have, like, super ADD. So, like, for me to, like, focus on anything for one a second is wild. But I sat there for 2 hours and just watched them dance the entire time.
And how old were you at that point?
I was 11 turning 12 that year.
Dang. That's crazy.
And then they finished, and I was like, hey, where do I learn how to do that? Because it was like...
Where do I sign up?
it was cool, but yet they were doing it with girls, and like it was like, I feel the first time I probably acknowledged something being sexy. I was like, what? I'm allowed to do that? Where do you teach me?
Teach me. Everywhere. Teach me your ways.
I asked them where the studio is. I found out it was in Jersey, close to where I was. And then I started going there that summer, and I never left.
Wow. And, I mean, were your parents into it? Were they like, what? Ballroom dance?
Yeah, in the Eastern European communities, like, ballroom dancing isn't weird, and especially for boys to do. It was, like, kind of a cool thing to do, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my son dances. And at first, like, I don't know. My parents were like, the busier our son is, the better. So I did everything, always. I was never home. So just to give me another activity was like, yeah, sure. Why not? Give me three more. It was, I guess, fun. It only became a problem when I got older and I was like, yeah, you know what, guys? I want to do this forever.
Yeah. And how old were you when you were like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to pursue professionally.
Well, I openly knew it from day one.
Like, oh, really?
I took my first class. Yeah. So like, I'm very indecisive as a person. Like I said, I can't, I have ADD. I can't choose between like vanilla and chocolate. I have to get both. Like I'll order four, like if I seamless something to the house, the delivery guy brings me four sets of forks and knives and stuff. He thinks I ordered enough food for that many people.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I just want a little taste of everything.
Yeah, you know, I can't decide.
I just want nibbles, you know?
Okay, so why was that a problem when you decided that this is what you wanted to do?
I took this class dancing, and it was like, in my head, I knew right away that I was like, this is different. I want this.
Yeah.
I've never felt like that about anything before. So that's why I knew from the first moment that that's what I wanted to do. But it became a problem when I was like 17 and like my family was trying to have like serious conversations with me about my future. And I was like, no, guys, I wasn't kidding. Like this whole time I told you I was going to dance. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. And so
I just thought that would stop at one point. I would like lace up my shoes and go to law school.
No, guys, this is it for me. Yeah. A lot of, young kids that are in the arts in some way, they really struggle with that, especially when it comes to high school age. You've had this passion your whole life, and it's something that you've worked so hard at and put so many hours and blood, sweat, and tears into it. And when it comes time to, you know, graduate high school and go to college, it's like, all right, so what are you going to actually do now? What's your real job going to be? And they're like, I thought I was already doing it. And so it sounds like that's something that you struggled with.
Right. It was a struggle only because we weren't, like, preparing for it at all.
Right.
The only thing I was doing dance-wise was going to MAC school and competing. By the end of high school, I did Dancing with the Stars once. You know, like I said, I was 17. That was, like, junior year.
Yeah.
But up until then, there was nothing else. Like, my guidance counselor was telling me to go get a psychology degree at local college. Like, in my opinion, he maybe should have been telling me, like, oh, by the way, there are these dance colleges that maybe you should look into.
Right, you can study dance in school.
Right, and learn how to, you know, figure out what an audition is and this is an agent. Like, I literally had no idea. And, like, the other dance forms, they just, like, that's where it's already ultimately going. So they know that. That's
right.
Part of their world instantly.
Right, but ballroom always, like, doesn't have that trajectory. Right. Interesting. So what did you decide to do then after high school, and who influenced you and who helped you along the way?
So at first, like I just kept competing because you could still, I mean, people compete for like 30s, 40s if they want to.
Right.
So I was like 20. I stopped competing, I think, when I was like 22. So up until that point, I was still like going to college a bit, but like studying business and psychology and competing. And competing takes a lot of your time because you have to pay for it. So you have to teach or like have another job. And then that's a lot of traveling and lessons, and ballroom is like oddly super expensive.
Oh, it's extremely expensive. Yeah.
So with all that said being done, at one point I was like, you know what? I'm over this. and I stopped competing, and but I didn't want to stop dancing.
Right.
And kind of teaching was like taking my soul away from me at the moment. I was like, it was just too much. I was teaching 14 hours a day, 6 days a week.
Oh my gosh.
It was, but like you had to, I guess, to, I also felt like if I wasn't going to school anymore, I had to work full time.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, but I didn't want to stop dancing. So at that point I like, it was literally a Google search. It was like dance schools.
Dance schools. Enter.
Yeah. And everything came up. And I was living in Jersey at the time. So,
yeah.
Like in Fort Lee by the city. So all like Juilliard came up and this and that. But it was August. So.
Oh, yeah. Not the best time of year.
The enrollment all these schools was already closed for September. Except for one, AMDA. AMDA was open.
Yeah.
They have this rolling admission situation. So I call them. I'm like, hey, can I audition? They're like, yeah, we're going to audition in like two Saturdays. You have to perform a routine. Jazz, tap, ballet, and blah, blah, blah. Have an interview and so on and so forth. I was like, great, cool. But I'm a ballroom dancer. Can I do that? They're like, no, you have to do jazz, tap, contemporary ballet.
Oh,
I was
no.
like, okay, cool. See you Saturday.
Oh, wow. Okay, so how did you prepare?
This is way... what I did was YouTube Travis Wall.
Yep,
I knew he was... Like, I've heard things. Because I wasn't watching the show yet. I was like, well, everyone's talking about this Travis Wall guy. So I YouTubed a whole bunch of his videos and just like tried to do it my little ballroom version-y way. And walked into the audition and just like chose my favorite parts, things I thought were like the coolest looking moves and stuff like that. And I got in.
Wow.
So that's, from that school, and I was there for a year, that's where I learned I had my intro to ballet and jazz and tap. And it was great, you know, taking ballet every day for 3 to 6 hours. That was one of the best things that ever happened in my dancing, to me as a dancer, rather.
Yeah.
And then the dance history class there was cool because it opened up my mind completely. It was like, I know the whole ballroom history, but like watching like Nureyev and like all these original ballets, that was beautiful. That was interesting to learn.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so you're at AMDA for a year, and then what happened after that? Where did you go?
After that, I hit the road and had another kind of on-the-job learning experience. That's when I worked for Kirstie Alley for about a year.
Okay.
And with her, we just did a bunch of different projects from performances at different charities, and then we did this thing called 100 Days of Dance, where we danced every day. And we made a video of it. So there was her proof to her followers that she was dancing every day. So we would go to different locations. There would be a concept. I would choreograph it. We would dance it. We would film it. And I'd edit it. And we'd put it up online. So that was the first time I had to, like, A, come up with an obscene amount of choreography on the spot for 100
yeah.
days in a row.
Yeah. So how did you get hooked up with her? How did you get introduced to Kirstie Alley?
Again, through the whole Dancing with the Stars connection. She
okay.
was on it. And I met her there, and we danced the waltz. And the next day, I got a phone call saying, "Would you be able to come up to Maine and teach me some more ballroom?" So, and then from then, our relationship grew, and from project to project. But that went for a year, and that's when I moved to Los Angeles. After that,
dang. And you went on, and I did not realize this. Did you audition for So You Think You Can Dance multiple times before season 11?
Yes, absolutely. I did it here in New York on season 7.
Oh,
and I
wow.
made it to the, they didn't have a Green Mile season 7. It was like an interesting season. It was with the first one where the All-Stars came in.
Okay, yep.
So it like, they only picked 10 people, they said, but then they took 11. But there was no ballroom people on that season. They have a salsa girl that season. I don't know if you remember.
They all get, I know, I've been watching for so long that I can't keep all of them, keep track of all of them, you know, exactly what happened every season. But yeah, I do remember
right.
the All-Stars coming in and the show really changing the way it did everything and all the concepts.
Right. So that happened like 3 times.
Really?
Every time I auditioned, I made it to the Green Mile and it was just not for me that day until finally season 11.
How did you find the strength to keep coming back and putting yourself through all of that emotional and physical stress?
With my, you know, let everything be mentality, stress is what it is. It
right.
comes and goes. I don't let it overtake me. The emotional situation, it's a week long.
Yeah.
And then you're done, you know? And I don't know, for me, it's like, I guess it was my drug in that sense. Like, it felt so good to be needed to work that hard. Like, you are, when you audition for the show and when you are on the show every week, like, you're tested to your 100% in every direction.
Mm-hmm.
Physicality, emotionally, spiritually, creatively, artistically, relationships. Because, life is still going on throughout the entire process.
Yeah.
So it's fascinating. But some people don't like it. Some people change under it. Some, you know, buckle. But, like, I don't know. For me specifically, I love to see how much I grew through it. Because it was such a molding experience.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
What was the most impactful thing for you that you took from the audition experience and from being on the show in season 11? What really stuck with you?
It kind of came. So for the auditions, like, being able to, like, come back and audition and make it to the end every time, that just proved to me that I wasn't, like, lying to myself and that, like, okay, repeatedly people think I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah.
Maybe I should be.
It wasn't a fluke.
That's what that gave me. You know, and it also, like, instant training, like, be funny now. All right, show me best move. 5, 6, 7. And I'm like, best move? What?
You know,
like,
I don't know my best move.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe some people do. I had no idea. But for me, that was the hard part. But during the show, what I took away from was, like, it just trained you to become, like, a super dance athlete.
Oh, yeah.
That's why when the kids come back, we call them all-stars. Because, like, just this show, the way it makes you think, the way it makes you go about rehearsing, choreographing, drilling yourself as a dancer, performing, picking up choreo. It's like dance boot camp.
Oh,
if
yeah.
There was no cameras. If you could sign up for this and there was no cameras and all we were doing was doing the weekly process all the time, sign me up. I would still do it.
Oh, wow. That is dedication, people, if I've ever heard it. So, Serge, as we come to the end of our conversation, I want to know what you have coming up, what's in the works, and where we can find out everything about you, where we can follow you.
So right now, me and a bunch of my friends, we have a production company that we're open. We started choreographing all these shows underneath it. So, and we just did a show for the Wynn Hotels for their New Year's Eve for Steve's party, where Lionel Richie came on and sang afterwards.
Okay.
So it's just these kind of open corporate situations where we're trying to do it in a more fashion and find opportunities to choreograph and perform in situations like that. That's kind of the plan at the moment. But I'm also, it took me a year to do this, but everything I've done, I found through, like, word of mouth. I just changed my agencies out here and representation. We're figuring that out. So I still want to dance. You know, I'm only 28, so I got maybe a couple years left for that, right?
You got more than that. Way more.
So I'm going to try to do that as well. So we'll see with that. But with me, you can follow, if you're following me at Serge Onyx on pretty much every social media platform out there, you see what I'm up to, see what I'm about. My friend just had a baby, so life is beautiful.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, baby shy.
Well, Serge, it has been so much fun to chat with you today, and I loved hearing your story of how you got involved with ballroom and everything that you're doing now. It's been extremely inspirational, and I can't wait to catch up soon and see what else is going on.
It was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much.
And that's a wrap.
Want more of your favorite dance podcast? Then subscribe to The Bartender now on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Google Play. New episodes premiere every Sunday on thebartender.tv. and release on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, and Google Play every Tuesday. The Bartender is produced by Dance Network. So check out dancenetwork.tv to stream amazing dance content. Thanks for listening. Happy dancing and happy drinking.